All right, let's pray. Father, we just sang, you know, use me, fill me, guide me, call me. Father, may we always be open to your will for our life. May we desire to serve you with our life. And that doesn't mean, you know, quitting everything and going into full-time ministry. It means being available where we are, where you have placed us in life. And so whether it's our jobs, whether it's a retirement, whether it's with young families, and et cetera, Lord, wherever we are, you are always desiring to use us and connect with the people around us to share the love of Jesus. So help us to do that. And just bless our time in your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I almost could say Happy New Year, because I think Labor Day is almost like New Year more than January 1st, because there's so many changes, right? With our life schedule is almost like September to August, when, you know, around the education system and even work. So in many ways, this is it's a transition time of year, and a lot of people are returning to work, and kids are returning to education, and maybe jobs. You know, you're done education, now you're starting work, life, and so on. So, and the changes sometimes are huge at the moment. You know, elementary to high school, like, right? For some people, it's a whole new ball game, or college, university, and it's new territory. It's people you don't know. And you got all these things you're thinking about going through your mind, especially if you're leaving home. Like, you know, how does the bus system work? We don't have bus systems in Westport, right? How does that work? Who's going to do my laundry? I mean, how am I going to do my laundry? Right? Who's going to cook? I mean, how am I going to cook? Right? All these things you've never really had to think about before. And all of a sudden, they're major issues. Hopefully you think about things like, are there any churches close by to where I'm going to be going to school or work, or what about other Christians, right? Those are things we worry about. What about adults, right? You know, maybe we're anxious or we can be just as anxious for our kids and grandkids. You know, they're not worried about this stuff at all, but we're freaking out, right? We're praying for all these things, and we're praying that God goes ahead, and they go, and then we hear how things are going in a few weeks, hopefully a little more than 24 hours, right? Give them some time, right? And you find out that God has been going ahead, and he met their needs, and they're doing okay. But it's foreign territory, right? It's foreign territory. And maybe even adults, you know, things are changing. Maybe you're going back to school. Maybe you're like, this is the last one leaving home. You know, what are we going to do now that there's nobody, the house is so quiet. Now what do we do? And don't throw a party, okay? All right, at least look sad initially, okay? But, you know, maybe you're retiring. Like, oh, how does that look like? And so everything it's new. And you're thinking, I've never been this way before, right? We've never been this way before. How do we know? How do we know how to get through it? Well, as I mentioned before, we were talking about aliens and strangers a lot this year, because we are citizens of heaven, but we're still here on earth. And that phrase, citizens of heaven, comes from Philippians 3:20. Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, with the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. An alien and a stranger, biblically, is one who belongs somewhere else but temporarily is living in a different place. And in the law of Moses, God told the Israelites, he says, you're going to be foreigners and aliens in the land of Egypt for 400 years. And then when God took them out under Moses' leadership, there were a number of times when they wanted to go back. You're like, why do you want to go back? Why do people want to go back to things that were difficult? Because they were familiar and they were controllable. And you knew you at least knew that experience. And so there was a few times when they're like, I don't like this new thing. I want to go back to the old thing, even if it wasn't pleasant, because we don't like change. And yet, surprisingly, eventually they adjusted to wilderness life. Oh, wilderness life. Yeah, we move today, or tomorrow we move again. Okay, we've done this before. I can get used to that. But now they're at the promised land. Now they're at the just on the other side of Jordan, ready to go into the promised land. Another new life experience. What's that going to be like? We've never been here before. God said that. You've never been this way before. He says, I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm going to go there and be there right in front of you. And so God knows our concerns when we have thoughts like that. And so he says in Joshua 3, verse 3, he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you'll know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. And so the central focus here in Joshua 3 and 4 is listen to God. Trust the word of God and watch him go ahead of you. And of course, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbolic presence of God, right? He's going before you. The crossing of the Jordan, of course, promises a great lesson for all of us whenever we're facing new challenges in our life, new experiences in our life. Whether we're having our first child, right? We've never done this before, right? Whether we're moving away from family and friends for the first time, we've lost a job, we're retiring, right? People have passed away in our life. We're not sure what to do. We've never experienced these things before. And in all those things, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I know that. He says, I'll go before you. Trust me. So what can we learn about life's challenges as we study Israel's crossing the Jordan? Well, we learn basically we need to trust God. We need to trust God because he's already led us to where we are now. He's already brought us through a bunch of stuff. And so if he's already done that and we saw him work, we can trust him to do more stuff, new stuff in our life as we're looking for more direction. Well, verse 1 gives us a geography lesson. We're told we are in Shittim or Abel Shittim, sometimes it's called, which is approximately 20 kilometers to Jericho. So Shittim is on the, if you're looking at me, Shittim is on the east side of the Jordan and Jericho is on the west side. And they're basically about 10 kilometers from the Jordan on both sides. Now, they've been there since Numbers 25. So they've actually been there for quite a while if you're reading scripture. And God, of course, has gotten them there. And now they're on the edge, right, on the land of Canaan. Actually, they've even moved closer to the Jordan. We're told they're camping 3 days. They're waiting on God, waiting on what God is going to say to them next in order to get them across. God says, I'm going to get you there. And God has gotten them there. And now, how are they going to get across to the other side? Now, it's taken a little bit longer than it should have because God fell asleep, right? No, God hadn't fallen asleep. God hadn't failed. They were there. It had taken them a lot longer than it should have been because the people failed to trust God. And when you and I fail to trust God along our own life's journey, guess what? There's going to be delays where God wants us to be. It's not God's fault when we aren't where we need to be, spiritually or even geographically. It's because we've delayed God's plan for us through our own disobedience and lack of trust. Now, God has promised Joshua, because Joshua is a new leader, right? Even though they've known Joshua for a long time, Joshua has now taken Moses' place. I mean, how do you take Moses' place, right? And God says to Joshua, I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses, and I'm going to exalt you the way I exalted Moses. Now, Joshua and Caleb are the two oldest men in the entire nation of Israel. Why is that? Because everybody who was 20 years old back when the Israelites were supposed to go across the first time all died over 40 years. So these are the only two old men, older men, in the entire nation of Israel. And God had commanded Joshua in chapter 1. He says, be strong and courageous and be careful to obey all the words the Lord has given you. And so far, Joshua has done that. And the people have done quite well themselves. So God has gotten them there. He's met their needs. He fed them manna every day. He miraculously provided water when it wasn't available. He spoke to Moses numerous times. He settled disagreements visibly, the rebellion of Korah, as well as when Miriam and Aaron complained about Moses. God showed himself in all those things. And every day they saw the presence of God. How? Remember? By day they saw the cloud, and by night they saw every day. So every day they've seen the presence of God leading them. And as Moses writes in the beginning of Deuteronomy, a snore chapter, okay, Deuteronomy 1, it's a list of all these places that they've gotten to. But it's a track record of God's ability to get them everywhere they needed to go. And you and I can say the same thing, of course. I mean, you can look back in your life and you can have a Deuteronomy 1 chapter 2, right? All these places, all these experiences where you've been, but you can say, yeah, God was there and God was there and God was there and God was there everywhere. And maybe some of us could be somewhere else because we haven't been listening to God the way we should be. Maybe we're in a spiritual wilderness where we just haven't been trusting God and are thinking more about Egypt than we are about where God wants to take us. We'd rather be where we used to be, but God is not giving up on us. And he's been with us all the way, and he was with these folks all the way. Even when, right, was God still with Israel when they didn't recognize his hand in their life? Absolutely. Is God still with us even when we don't recognize his hand in our life? Absolutely. So if you're going somewhere new, can you trust God? Yeah, because he's got a 100% accurate, faithful track record. So if you're anxious about the future because you haven't been there before, guess who's going to go ahead of you? God is going to go ahead of you. God is in Australia, Karen, right? Okay, he's waiting there for you, right? He's going to get you meet all your needs there. So all this began in chapter 1, where God reassured Joshua he would be with him as he was with Moses. And back in chapter 111, Joshua told the officers of the people, he says, go through the camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. And so he repeats that in chapter 3, verse 3, right? After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. So God was going to do some amazing things for the Israelites, but they had to be ready. Isn't it interesting? God says, this is what's going to happen, and I want you to get ready for it. And how do we do that? Well, we need to learn to continually grow in loving God, and that involves being prepared to follow God. And so he initially communicates. He uses a lot of the same language he did with Moses, now with Joshua, to get them across the Jordan. And it's very similar. And in chapter 19 of Exodus, God told Moses to tell the people before giving in the law, he said, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day, because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai. Like, consecrate yourselves, third day, right? Okay, same language. The Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. But consecrate, God says, consecrate the people here. Now, consecrate is the Hebrew word for holy. be holy. And it's the Hebrew word kadosh. I like that word, kadosh, right? It's a good Hebrew word to know, kadosh. And God requires Israel's focus. He says, stay focused, watch what I'm going to do. I want you to wash your clothes. So probably washing their clothes symbolically, as they did in Exodus 19. But you do that symbolically because you're supposed to wash out the infirmities, the impurities in your life. Confess sin. Right the wrong. Heal the broken relationships. You know, there's a time to enjoy life's blessings. There's a time to focus on getting things right with God and with others. Why does God want them to do that? Because he's going to do amazing things. And if you're not prepared, you're going to miss it. So if you're not prepared, you're not going to see the hand of God working in your life. Now, you can read about Joshua 3, and there will be people who will tell you that, yeah, there's a logical explanation for why the water dried up. And they'll give you all kinds of supposedly theories on why the Jordan dried up and allowed the Israelites to cross, just saying the Red Sea. There's always people like that, right? But, you know, it's easy to attribute these kinds of things not to God. And so you have to be in a framework, mental framework, spiritual framework, where you will see, acknowledge that God has been doing these things, right? You haven't been this way, God says, so I'm going to go ahead of you, but you need to be spiritually prepared in order to see that I'm the one who's doing it for you. And I think as parents and grandparents, we know this even so truly. You know, we pray for our kids, we pray for our grandkids that God would go before them and show them things and do things for them. And we hear back, right? And we praise the Lord that God was doing these things. See, the reason why we pray is, yes, for answers to prayer, but it's also so that you and I glorify God when we acknowledge that we saw God answer that prayer. That's how it's supposed to work. So God was already preparing things ahead for them as much as he does for us as well. And when we see that, guess what? We praise the Lord and it strengthens our faith. And so the next challenge we have, we'll go to God more readily. And there are times when we need to consecrate ourselves more closely to God, especially when we're unsure of what direction